Legend of Yufei Chapter 76.
So let's kick things off at Zuxin Town. The setup here, well, it doesn't start well for the song, does it?
Not at all.
Yeah.
You've got General Nu Gao, he's part of the old guard, and he's being completely routed, chased down by this Jin general, Niandeli.
Niandeli, right. The guy on the camel, that detail always sticks out. And Nu Gao is apparently yelling that the enemy's fierce indeed. Sounds like panic.
Oh, absolutely. He's in a real crisis. And, you know, that moment of crisis is really crucial. It sets the stage perfectly for the new generation to arrive.
Right. The old guard is faltering.
But help is on the way.
Yes. The rescue. Five young generals arrive. This is the future. Right here. Guanling, he's Guanxing's son. Then Lu Wenlong, Fan Cheng, Yan Qingfang, and Delay.
And these aren't just local guys who happen to be nearby.
No, exactly. The sources say they traveled from places like Changsha, Luan, Jinmen. They came specifically to join Yulei's campaign. That feels significant, like a unified effort.
It signals a broader commitment. And their tactics, well, that's where the story really gets good. Niandeli is tough, he's aggressive, and that camel gives him a height advantage.
Yeah, how do they handle that? The sources give a pretty vivid account of the fight.
They do. So Guanling takes him on first. They fight for over 30 bouts. 30. It's a long, drawn-out struggle.
Then neither gets the upper hand.
Nope. It's a stalemate. So Delay jumps in. Now it's, well, technically 3-2 if you count the camel.
Mm-hmm.
And they go another 10 bouts. Still deadlocked. This Niandeli is formidable.
Okay, so what breaks the deadlock?
Lu Wenlong joins. And this is the plevel bit. He doesn't just charge in swinging. He uses his spear, but aims it. Well, not at the general.
Where?
At the camel's eye.
The camel's eye. Wow, that's unexpected. Is that considered like a standard tactic, or is it seen as a bit underhanded?
That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
It shows how this new generation thinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's less about the chivalry, maybe, and more about results. Pure pragmatism.
Okay, yeah, I see it.
And it works brilliantly.
Yeah.
The source says the camel just screams, stumbles, Niandeli's advantage, gone. Instantly.
And then the others capitalize.
Immediately. Yan Qingfang rushes in, smashes the camel's skull with his mace, this 8-ridged purple gold mace, apparently. Niandeli tumbles down.
And then Fan Cheng finishes him off.
With a spear.
Yeah.
Job done. It's this perfect display of teamwork. Four generals, one unconventional target, decisive victory.
It really underlines that transition you mentioned. Pragmatism and teamwork winning the day.
Precisely. And Yulei sees it, too. He immediately asks for imperial recognition for all five of them. They're officially the new heroes.
But they barely get a moment to breathe, right? Because almost immediately there's another threat, a logistical one this time.
Yeah, supplies. Always critical. A Jin general, Yu Kerong, manages to intercept a huge grain shipment. 3,000 Xi, the text says, guarded by Sun Lan.
And Yu Gao, fresh off being rescued, steps up.
He does. Full of confidence again. He basically says, don't worry, leave it to me, your uncle. That kind of vibe.
So he goes after the grain. How does that go?
Pretty easily, actually. He defeats Yu Kerong, who just turns and runs. Niu Gao gives chase.
Okay.
But then Yu Kerong just vanishes behind a hill. Poof. Gone.
That sounds convenient. Almost too convenient.
Well, convenient for the plot, certainly. Because right there, on that hill, Niu Gao finds someone else waiting.
Ooh.
His old Taoist master, Bao Fangzu.
Ah, okay, so we're shifting gears here.
Definitely. The master tells Nu Gao to let the Jin general go. Says something like his fate wasn't due yet, which implies, you know, higher powers are involved now.
Fate dictating battlefield outcomes. Mm-hmm. And the master does more than just give advice, right? He gives Nu Gao things.
Yes, crucial gifts. First, medicine. Two doses. One specifically for Nu Gao's injured son, Nu Tong. The other for General He Feng. Remember those names?
Nu Tong and He Feng. Got it.
What else? The big one. An instruction, really. He says, if Nu Gao runs into a magical user using a treasure to harm people.
Which sounds oddly specific.
Exactly. He's told to use a particular weapon to counter them. The cloud-piercing arrow. Chuan Yunjin.
A cloud-piercing arrow. Okay, so this isn't just advice. It's foreshadowing. Heavy foreshadowing.
It's a massive narrative signal. The master is essentially saying, the rules are about to change. Swords and spears won't be enough. You'll need this. It prepares us, the readers, and you, the listener, for what's coming next.
The war is about to get supernatural.
Absolutely. And that happens fast. Because back in the Jin camp, the death of Niandeli, that pragmatic kill by the young generals, it sends Wu Zhu into despair.
He realizes his conventional forces might not be enough.
He explicitly says something like, these little barbarians are even fiercer than the old ones. He's realizing skill and teamwork on the Song side are improving. So, in his desperation, he calls for his ace in the hole.
Which is?
His, let's call it non-military option. National Master Pu Feng.
Ah, the mystical threat arrives. What do we know about this Pu Feng?
He's described as a Buddhist monk, but also a sorcerer. Big, imposing figure. Apparently looks a bit like Lu Zixian from Water Margin, if that means anything to you.
The famous brawling monk figure.
Yeah, I mean, right? And he's incredibly arrogant. Comes in boasting that beating the Song generals will be like catching a turtle in a jar. Easy work.
Confidence isn't lacking, then. How does the Song side react? Yulei must be concerned.
He is. He specifically warns the generals he sends out to face Pu Feng, that's Nutong Nugao's son, remember the medicine, and He Feng, the other recipient of the medicine.
Wow, okay, the foreshadowing is paying off quickly.
Right. And they're supported by Tang Ying, Qi Chenliang, and Yulei. Yulei tells them explicitly, be wary of monks, Taoists, and women on the battlefield, says they often use sorcery.
He knows the tropes, so Nutong and He Feng go out. What happens?
Well, the warning was spot on. Nutong clashes with Pu Feng first, and it's a fierce fight. The text uses some great imagery, iron staff versus a sweeping wind blade, like a poisonous dragon against crazy willow floss.
So a real martial contest initially.
Yes, for over 30 bouts. And interestingly, Nutong, using pure skill and strength, actually starts to get the upper hand.
But we know that's not going to be enough, right? Based on the setup.
Exactly. Just as Nutong seems to be winning, Pu Feng pulls back, feigns retreat.
And then reveals his trick.
Reveals his treasure. The artifact Bao Fangzu warned about. It's called the Mixed Element Bead, Hun Yuanzu.
What does it look like? What does it do?
The description is pretty cool. It's about the size of a wine cup, and it flies up into the sky, rotating like a rice sieve.
Rotating in the sky? How do you even fight that?
You don't. Pu Feng throws it, or directs it somehow, and it hits Nutong on the left shoulder. He just falls, cries out, totally incapacitated.
Just like that. One hit.
One hit. Conventional skill rendered useless.
And He Feng, the other one Bao Fangzu foresaw needing medicine.
He Feng rushes in, furious, trying to help Nutong. He manages to fight Pu Feng for about 10 bouts, but then Pu Feng uses the bead again, throws it rapidly.
Hits He Feng too.
Hits him right on the back. He falls unconscious. Just like that, the two generals Bao Fengzu provided medicine for are taken out by the magical artifact.
This is turning into a rout. What about the backup, Tang Ying, Yulei, Ji Chenliang?
They try. They rush in to rescue the fallen generals. But Pu Feng uses the bead a third time. And this time it generates dark clouds and black mist that just cover the battlefield. Chaos.
So it affects the whole area.
Seems like it. Total confusion. And in the midst of it, Ji Chenliang's horse gets struck by the bead throwing him. The remaining Song forces just break and flee.
Wow. So Pu Feng wins. Completely and utterly.
Total victory. Effortless, almost.
And the Song army is basically broken, right?
Absolutely. Two top generals, Nutong and He Feng, are critically injured. Pu Feng's demonic method, as the text calls it, has taken them down hard.
How bad are we talking?
We're talking dire. Almost hopeless. General Niu Gao, the older, fiery one, shows up, finds Nutong crying out in pain. But He Feng, he's much worse.
Oh.
The text is graphic. It says he has only exiting breath, no entering breath. He's described as 9/10 dead. This wasn't a clean cut. It was like a spiritual poison. Normal medicine. Useless.
So the rules have changed. You need magic to fight magic.
Quite as much. Niu Gao pulls out this celestial elixir, the Dan Yao. It was a gift he received earlier from a hermit, Bao Fengzu.
And this stuff works.
Instantly. It's key to the whole setup. Half the powder is ingested, half applied to the wound. For Nutong, boom, he's completely whole again. Same process for He Feng, who was practically dead moments before.
Just like that. Back to fighting shape.
Exactly. Not just healed, but restored. Ready to go.
Okay, hold on. Why the magic cure? Why not just have them retreat, recover normally? Seems narratively convenient.
Well, yes, but it serves a purpose. It tells us the heroes are favored, maybe by destiny, you know?
Yeah.
But their own strength isn't enough here.
Oh, okay.
The magic cure levels the playing field, so the real victory has to come from strategy, from Zugajin's mind. It sets up intellect as the ultimate weapon against this kind of threat.
Got it. So they're healed. What's their first thought?
Yeah.
Caution. Planning.
Huh. No, not at all. It's pure rage. Yutong and Heifeng immediately swear revenge on that bald-headed monk. They want blood.
Right. So much for caution.
And this creates friction. Yulei, the commander, he tries to be prudent. Suggests putting up the no challenge sign, the Mianzan Pai. Basically, let's pause, regroup.
Makes sense.
But Niu Gao, representing the old guard, sees this as shameful. Retreat. cowardice. He argues against it very strongly. It's that classic tension strategy versus raw honor.
Yeah, I can see that clash.
And that's where Zhu Jinxian steps in. He's the mediator. He tells Yu Lei, okay, let the generals have their charge. Let them vent that rage, but manage the risk. He says the five generals can go out if Niu Gao goes with them as tactical supervisor. The term is Yazin.
Yazin. Yeah. So not just backup, but like a controlling influence.
Precisely. A stabilizing force.
Yeah.
Keep things from going completely off the rails. It channels their anger into a controlled attack. Brilliant move, really.
Okay, so the generals charge out, Niu Gao keeping an eye on things. What does Pu Feng do?
Pu Feng's ready. He unleashes his first major magical weapon, the primordial chaos pearl, the Hunyuan Zhu. It appears as this terrifying piece of black air shooting towards them.
Spooky. So how do they counter that? Another magic spell.
And this is what's fascinating. No counter magic needed. Zhu Gijin's tactical setup pays off immediately through conventional means.
Really? How?
Niu Gao, in his Yazin role, sees this black mass coming. And instead of panicking, he treats it like a physical target. He takes aim with his cloud-piercing arrow.
He shoots the magic.
Fires right into the black air. And it works. The black air just disperses. The pearl drops to the ground. Yes. The text specifically says the arrow shot a hole in it. It physically broke the magic item. It implies Pu Feng's magic isn't entirely ethereal. It has a physical anchor.
That's a huge vulnerability. So what's the takeaway here for us?
The lesson is, you don't always need a complex magical solution for a magical problem.
Mm.
Zhu Jin realized that focus, conventional skill in this case, archery applied bravely, could work. Niu Tong then grabs the pearl.
Still angry, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Tries to throw it back at Pu Feng.
Huh.
But it's broken. Useless. Pu Feng catches it, completely humiliated. Before he can react, General Yu Lei slams him with a hammer, knocks him off his horse.
Ouch. So they got him.
Almost. He escapes. Transforms into a beam of golden light Jin Guang. And poof, he's gone. Vanishes.
Okay. Humiliated, weapon broken, escaped by turning into light. Pu Feng isn't going to let this go, is he?
Not a chance. This is where things escalate dramatically. He goes back to the Jin leader, Wu Zhu, furious, and he vows to wipe out the entire Song army.
The whole army? How many are we talking?
The generals and all 200,000 troops in one night.
That's ambitious.
Yeah.
This is where Pu Feng unveils his ultimate weapon. He has this gourd, and inside it are, wait for it, 5,408 camel dragons. Too long.
5,000. That's incredibly specific. Camel dragons. What are they?
The description is pure nightmare fuel. They grow huge, tens of feet long, bodies like baskets, eyes shoot golden light, mouths like blood basins full of sharp teeth.
Okay, terrifying. What do they do?
Their function is what's really chilling. They specialize in eating human essence marrow. Suan Ye Qi Ren Jing Sui. It's not just physical, it's spiritual annihilation. They consume your life force.
Oh, that's bad. That's really bad. So the attack.
Night attack. They appear as countless golden lights descending on the Song camp. Total chaos erupts immediately.
What does Zhu Jijin do? Can they even fight these things?
Zhu Jin's genius kicks in again. Speed and recognition. He doesn't even try to fight them head on. He instantly identifies the camel dragon formation and orders a massive retreat. 60 li.
60 li? How far is that?
A li is about half a kilometer. So we're talking a 30 kilometer panicked retreat. Survival first, territory second. He knew they couldn't win a direct fight.
Wise move. Did it work? Did they get away clean?
Not entirely.
Yeah.
Even in retreat, the cost is horrific. The dragons are relentless, biting off limbs, heads, consuming flesh, blood, marrow. The source says 18,000 Song soldiers are killed or wounded in one night.
18,000. Zhu Jin now knows conventional warfare is useless here. Swords, arrows, maybe even cannons. They won't stop these things.
Exactly. This brings us back to the core theme. Brute force is out. He needs something completely unconventional, something that attacks the very nature of this magical threat. The question becomes, how on earth do you defeat thousands of flying, essence-eating, supernatural monsters?
Yeah, how? What's the brilliant plan?
It sounds almost absurdly simple at first glance. He orders them to dig a ditch.
A ditch? To stop 5,000 magic dragons that just killed 18,000 men?
But it's not just any ditch. It's a meticulously engineered trap, playing on metaphysics. Zhu Gijin realizes he needs to exploit their spiritual nature, the concept of purity versus defilement.
Defilement, how?
So overnight, they dig this huge trench, a haogu, 15 feet wide, 12 feet deep, 250 feet long. Real civil engineering project.
Okay, big ditch. Then what?
They load it up. dry firewood, reeds, hidden gunpowder, fire artillery, standard trap stuff, maybe. But the genius part is the top layer.
Which is?
They cover the combustibles, and then they pour on tons of pig's blood and dog's blood.
Pig and dog blood. Why that specifically?
In this tradition, things of celestial or high spiritual origin like these dragons supposedly can't stand base unclean things. Pig and dog blood are considered ritually impure, the absolute lowest stuff. It's the antithesis of their power.
So the blood isn't just bait. It's like a spiritual weapon.
Exactly. It's designed to pollute them, to strip them of their magical flight. It's almost like spiritual kryptonite. He's using biology and ritual impurity against a magical enemy.
That is, wow. Okay, so the trap is set. How do they spring it?
Military precision. 3,000 soldiers dressed in black zaoyu, armed with rocket arrows and firearms, probably primitive muskets or something. They move back into the old, now seemingly abandoned camp. They're the bait.
Banking on Pufeng's arrogance and the dragon's instincts?
Totally. Pufeng, expecting another slaughter, releases the dragons again. He's even riding behind them personally this time.
And the dragons?
They smell the blood. That heavy, overpowering blood reek. Sui Xing Zhi Qi. Their instinct takes over. They dive straight into the trench to gorge on the blood. They just pile in one on top of the other, completely trapped by their own nature.
And the blood works.
Just as Zhuge Jin planned. The text confirms it. Once covered in the defiled blood, they're unable to fly, Fei Teng Bu Qi. Their magic is neutralized. They're grounded. Helpless.
Incredible. The moment of truth.
Zhuge Jin gives the signal. The black-clad soldiers let loose. Rockets ignite the firewood and reeds. The hidden gunpowder and artillery explode. It's a massive firestorm in the trench.
Annihilate.
Complete annihilation. All 5,408 camel dragons are destroyed. Wiped out in one go.
What about Pufeng? He was right behind them.
He gets caught in the chaos. Hit by 3 or 4 random arrows in the darkness. Not killed, but wounded. And utterly defeated.
So what does he do? Report back to Wuzu?
No, he's too ashamed. He lost his pearl. Now he's lost his ultimate weapon, his entire dragon army. He just patches himself up and secretly flees back to his mountain hermitage. The text says he went off to refine new magic items and plot future revenge.
So Zujin didn't just win the battle, he psychologically broke his opponent.
Absolutely. And the story wraps up with this poem praising Zhuge Jin. It specifically highlights his profound, marvelous military strategy and how the deep ditch and bloodstain plan eradicated the supernatural threat.